Another region of Russia has declared an emergency as Ukraine's incursion into the country enters its ninth day. The governor of Belgorod says daily Ukrainian shelling has destroyed homes and killed civilians. Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky says its soldiers continue to advance in neighbouring Kursk. The operation, launched in secret, has upended the dynamics of the war, which began 2.5 years ago. Since then, more than 107,000 Ukrainians have arrived in Ireland. 5,500 of them are living in County Clare, including in the coastal town of Kilkee. Many are based in the Kilkee Bay Hotel. That's where our reporter Peter O'Connell met Olena and Dina this morning.
My reaction, I'm not positive about it. I just would like to have a peace in my country. If it's even any country, I would like to have a peace. But and this all things what Russia does for Ukraine, it's not acceptable. And for example, I was talking with my relevants in Ukraine, and they hope in the future we just can exchange territories with Russia. I hope it will help Ukraine take back our people and our regions.
My reaction is, well, first of all, I must say that the war is terrible and crazy, and absolutely crazy, and I know what I'm talking about, but it feels much better to see it spilling over into the territory beyond your homeland. I don't say, I'm not saying that it feels good, no, it's not good, but it is better, it feels better than what I felt before.
Have you been in touch with people at home in Ukraine?
Yes, of course I have. And I spoke to many our people here in Kilkee, and the general sentiment is that people just hope that the situation could be a game changer in this war.
How long have you been here, and what are your long-term hopes? What would you, where do you hope to be in 12 months' time, maybe 2 years' time? Is it an impossible question?
Experience over the last 2 years taught me not to make plans, so long-term plans. I don't plan for 12 months. I just can see for tomorrow.
Olena and Dina speaking this morning to Peter O'Connell. Anatoly Primakov is one of the founders of Ukrainian Action in Ireland. He says people are welcoming news about the advance into Russia by Ukrainian troops.
Over the last couple of months, the outlook of the war has been very bleak, with Russians making steady, slow but steady advances across the front line. And obviously Ukrainian people, some of the people that I would have been talking to, were very worried about the future and what the future brings and how the war is going to develop. So any sort of battlefield success that the Ukrainian military can manage and any damage that the Ukrainian military can inflict on the Russians is seen as very positive news. It's uplifting the spirits of the Ukrainians, and some would say that was exactly what the people needed in this time, to see that, to see the proof that Ukrainian military is still capable of inflicting damage on the enemy, still capable of fighting back, and still capable of protecting Ukraine.
Anatoly Primakov speaking to us a little earlier. Let's talk now to Christopher Miller, who's the Financial Times correspondent in Kyiv. Christopher, more than a week since this Ukrainian operation began, what's known now about what's happening in Kursk?
Yeah, well, the Ukrainian forces were able to storm through the borders and capture up to 1,000 square kilometers of territory really relatively quickly, simply because they had the element of surprise. But now we're in the second week of this operation inside Russia, and things are slowing down for them. Russia has largely bungled its response, but it's been able to, in the last 48 hours or so, bring in reinforcements and halt some of those swift advances that the Ukrainians were making. We've seen some evidence of Russia digging in some defensive lines in the region to disallow Ukraine from pushing further into Kursk region. We've also seen the Ukrainians digging some trenches in trying to solidify their grip on the area. Fighting's ongoing. We saw overnight what was the largest drone attack by Ukraine on military airfields in the region there. So this is still a very high-intensity, dynamic situation. A lot can happen. It's very fluid. But it's clear that both sides are still fighting as hard as they can to one on the Ukrainian side to hold on to these gains and for Russia to try to push them out.
Is there any consensus on the question of why Ukraine decided to do this now?
I would say there's no consensus, but it's, from speaking with soldiers and Ukrainian officials who were involved in the planning of it, there were several objectives. One certainly was to lift the spirits of a country that has been war weary for months, soldiers that have been exhausted and tired from fighting this war of attrition on the front lines in the east of Ukraine. The morale is very high. I spoke with soldiers near the Kursk border just a few days ago, and I'd never seen them, I hadn't seen them in such high spirits for at least a year or more. Since even before 2023, the last time they had a successful counteroffensive in Kharkiv region in late 2022. So this definitely lifted morale. It's also, early on, it appears as though it's a tactic to try to take territory in order to hold it as a bargaining chip for any future negotiations. But a lot of the goals are still a bit murky. We've seen President Volodymyr Zelensky at least confirm the operation, but he's been pretty tight-lipped about the details.
To what extent is Russia now doing what Ukraine had probably hoped for and redirecting a significant number of soldiers to Kursk?
We haven't seen a lot of evidence of that, actually. The Russians, of course, have denied that they've been forced to divert their resources from those areas. But we have tracked at least some smaller units that have moved from the northern Kharkiv region toward Kursk. Otherwise, many of the reinforcements are coming from their National Guard units and reserves that were already in Russia and not in the frontline areas of eastern Ukraine. So if that was a goal to try to force Russia to redeploy these forces and halt its advances in eastern Ukraine, we haven't seen evidence of that happening yet.
Is Ukraine likely to try something similar elsewhere, or indeed would it have the soldiers to do so?
Well, that's a good question. Manpower has been a big challenge for Ukraine. It's only recently been able to mobilize tens of thousands of guys, soldiers for the fight each month. And that's only because they put into place new laws in May to do so. Previously, it was only able to mobilize maybe several thousand a month. And morale, as I mentioned, had been low prior to this. So soldiers are an issue. Will it have enough to do something similar elsewhere? I'm not certain that's going to be the case. They also want to be very careful about the amount of ammunition and weaponry that they expend in these types of operations. Certainly, the swift success that they had in the first days of this is a warning shot to Russia that it could that it could face other incursions by Ukraine. They do share a very large border, and I think certainly that's one of the goals, right? Is to embarrass the Kremlin, show Moscow that Kiev is still got a couple of tricks up its sleeve.
Ukraine relies upon international support, and this maneuver came about pretty much in secret. What has its supporters, like the United States, been saying about this operation?
Yeah, so United States officials and officials in Germany as well, both have backed Ukraine militarily and with intelligence, and they have both said that they were very surprised by this operation, that it was not shared with them in advance. Obviously, this was an operation that was planned in secret. The soldiers that I spoke with on the front lines said that their commanders had only told them about the operation and what they were planning to do about 24 hours to 36 hours ahead of the operation itself. They thought they were there to help defend the region because Russian soldiers were gathering on the Sumy border to possibly launch another incursion there. So this was kept under wraps. The West has been largely supportive and said that it's within Ukraine's rights to launch this incursion in order to defend itself. they have been supportive of the messaging of President Volodymyr Zelensky, who has said that they don't plan on holding Russian territory forever, that they don't need this territory, but that they want it as a bargaining chip in future peace negotiations with Moscow.
Christopher Miller of the Financial Times in Kyiv, thank you very much for talking to us this lunchtime.